Hello, this is Catherine West, Infection Control Consulting, working with fire and EMS groups across the country. Welcome to the podcast. This time we are going to be talking about the influenza vaccines for the upcoming fall season 2021 and 2022. Before we get started, I would like to thank all of you for the great effort and care you have carried out in not only caring for patients for COVID-19, but also in participating in getting the population vaccinated. Thank you. Job well done. Let's begin with talking about the types of influenza that are around us all. There are actually four types, A, B, C, and D. We focus primarily on types A and B because they are the cause of seasonal epidemics. Type A viruses are usually the cause of pandemics. Annual flu shots are required to be offered free of charge by employers to all healthcare workers. And if someone does not wish to participate in the vaccine program, they are required to sign a declination form. These are your references for the fact that declination forms must be signed. NFPA 1581 has a statement. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines also state they are required, and as does OSHA, including Cal OSHA's aerosol transmitted disease regulation 5199. Now, it's important to know that signing the declination form does not remove any of your rights to work comp or anything like that. They are important to document that the employer met the responsibility to offer them. So these are important for employer documentation. The trivalent, meaning protection against three types of seasonal flu, for the upcoming flu season. The first type A virus is Victoria, the second Cambodia, and the B virus is Washington. These were selected to be the primary cause of flu in the upcoming season. And this is decided by the World Health Organization in conjunction with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So we saw after the name an H and an N. What do those stand for? Well, the subtype of viral influenza A, which is the primary cause of human influenza each year, the name of the virus comes from two proteins on the surface of the viral coat. The H is for hemagglutinin and the N stands for neuraminidase. Now, this is the first time that the World Health Organization has gone on record as stating that it is their belief that quadrivalent vaccine should be what is offered for this upcoming fall season. Not trivalent, coverage for three, but quadrivalent, which covers for four. Now, if the vaccine to be administered is egg-based, the makeup would be A, Victoria, A, Cambodia, B, Washington, and B, Phuket. Now, if the vaccine that would be offered is cell-based or recombinant, that makeup will be just different on one point. The first type A will be Wisconsin. The second, Cambodia. The first B is Washington. And the second is Phuket. So World Health is recommending that the quadrivalent vaccine be offered for this upcoming flu season. Now, quadrivalent will also be available once again as a nasal spray, flu mist. There is no need for someone who participates in taking the nasal spray to be off work. There was a time when it was believed that they would be shedding virus and pose a risk for transmission. That has all been disproven. Now, for individuals who have allergies to mercury or antibiotics or eggs or egg-based products, Flucilvax is available for them to safely take if they wish to participate in a vaccine program. For persons over 65, we have senior vaccine, which is called Fluzone High Dose. It is quadrivalent, and it gives four times higher antigen protection than a quadrivalent, just regular vaccine. If a senior takes the regular vaccine, they generally have about 60% protection. But by taking the high dose vaccine, their percentage for protection is greatly increased by fourfold. Our cell-based vaccine, the most common is Flublok. This contains no virus, living or dead, no eggs, no antibiotics, no mercury, and no latex in the top of the medication vial. It offers three times higher protection and is for persons 18 and older. So this is a newly produced vaccine using DNA technology. With COVID-19, we were hearing about mRNA, but this is DNA. So what is a DNA vaccine? In this case, it's engineered vaccine, just like we're hearing with mRNA. In this case, we're using DNA, and the DNA is taken from the viruses. It is washed, it is filtered, treated, and then that is injected into you for your body to produce the immunologic response. It's not associated with any allergies or complications like Guillain-Barré. Currently, we have two plants in the United States that produce DNA-based vaccines. One is in Massachusetts and one is located in North Carolina. What are the advantages of DNA vaccines? Well, they're more stable. They are less costly to produce, and they're easier to handle than traditional vaccines. They can also be altered or changed very quickly if there is a change in the type of viruses that become evident. Come the fall season, they can easily go in and change the vaccine to cover that new influenza virus. So we have two options for employees with allergies. We have Flucilvax, which is safe for them to take, and we also have cell-based or Flublok vaccine. If employers have employees who have allergies, but they wish to participate in a vaccine program, the employer is to make that accommodation to get a vaccine that is safe for them to take. Also, it's a good idea if each department has input into the vaccine that is going to be offered for the upcoming flu season. You may have increased participation if they have input. Coming soon, maybe next year, we'll be able to receive flu vaccine by skin patch. This little patch is placed on the wrist. The white part and the tan part pull away, leaving the gelled area, which is quickly absorbed through the skin. Remember, chemicals pass easily through the skin, but not pathogens. They do not pass through the skin barrier. This administration route will not require that it be given by a healthcare provider. So this will be more widely available to people throughout the country and perhaps the world. You can't get the flu from a flu shot. Every year we have members of our department saying, every time I take a flu shot, I get the flu. Well, the CDC has answered that question. That it's not the flu. It's a reaction to the fact that your body is producing immunity. Now, I strongly recommend that for every department, whoever is charged with setting up the flu vaccine program, that you go to cdc.gov, click on diseases and conditions. That takes you to diseases by alphabet. Scroll down to influenza, and there you will see frequently asked question sheets. This is one of them, as well as fact sheets on all of the vaccines. So whichever one your department is offering, you're then able to share more information with the members of the department. We do also have, just for your information, rapid tests for flu. The cost runs between $15 and $45. To tell us who may have flu, and we also have one that can distinguish A and B. It is CLIA waivered, which means it can be done in an emergency department, in an urgent care center, or a clinic to aid diagnosis and recommendations for follow-up care. Everything is moving to rapid testing. Now, what about healthcare worker participation? And you'll see in big letters, SAD, because that's really what it is for those who take care of patients with multiple illnesses. We see a 33% participation rate. This is why hospitals have moved to make flu vaccine a condition of employment. So what about the EMS community and participation in seasonal flu vaccine? Well, there were three studies conducted. Remember, three studies give us scientific validity that showed that the healthcare rate of participation, the very lowest group of all healthcare worker groups, was EMS. First on the scene. Can an employer mandate vaccine? Well, we've seen that with medical facilities, that they have made it a condition of employment viewing it as a patient safety issue. Now, OSHA, in a letter of interpretation, let me explain what that is. When someone writes a question to OSHA and they answer in writing, that is their legal interpretation of their regulation. And they publish these on their website. And this one stated that OSHA does not require that an employee take a vaccine, but that an employer may do so. Well, what about hospitals and EMS and flu vaccine? Well, we know medical facility employees are required to receive their vaccine. But of course, that is not a requirement in the EMS community. So many facilities are now asking for a list of names of persons who signed declination forms and are requiring those individuals to wear masks on entering the facility. Students in EMS training programs who are going to do clinical rotations will not be permitted to do clinicals if they have signed declination forms. Why is this so important? Well, the healthcare law clearly states that if a patient develops an infection 2 days after admission that is unrelated to their admitting diagnosis, the medical facility will not be reimbursed for the cost of treating that infection. So we have a benefit to the patient and we have a monetary benefit to the medical facility. So EMS is to receive their flu vaccine starting in mid-September. The CDC wants all healthcare personnel who do direct patient care to have completed their vaccine by October 1. Now, where and what flu vaccines are available in your geographic area by zip code, you used to go to flushot.healthmap.org, but that name has been changed to vaccinefinder.org, which is a much more appropriate title because it doesn't only tell you where flu vaccines are available, but where all vaccines are available in your geographic area or zip code. It's a good idea to present your flu vaccine participation rate as part of annual update training. For some members of the department, that can be a real eye-opener, and it may work to encourage participation. What can we do to improve participation rates? Well, as we discussed earlier, getting staff input to the selection of the vaccine may be helpful. To offer education and training on the vaccine that is going to be offered prior to the start of the vaccine program. And study after study has shown that offering vaccine at the work location increases participation rate. The overall goal of our vaccine programs: to protect staff, protect coworkers when staff would perhaps come to work ill, and we have significant numbers of staff in healthcare that come to work ill, patient protection, and a benefit for administration is reducing the cost of absenteeism, which includes replacement costs for individuals who are out with flu. That brings us to the end of this podcast. I hope you have gotten some helpful information. If you have additional questions or want additional information, please feel free to give me a call or send an email, and I am happy to help. Thanks again for tuning in, and hopefully next month you will tune in again for the next podcast. Thank you all very much. Stay safe. Bye-bye.